Wonderful to be at Holland Road once again. There's so many friends as I look around here. It's great to be back in Britain again. I've been out in the United States of America looking after a church the last 3-4 weeks, and it's terrific to be in England and preaching with people that understand the language. It's quite disconcerting when you have people coming up saying, "We love it when you preach. We don't understand a word, but we just love to hear the accent." So it's always good to be back in Britain. Now, the Lord's ways are not our ways. We thought as a family, this will be a year of calmness. We've had big, big periods with Off the Fence and the ministry. We've seen great growth, great development, and we were looking forward to a year where we could just have a time as a family. And yet the Lord said to our eldest daughter, "It's time for you to serve me in Ethiopia." And she's been in Ethiopia the last 11 weeks serving the Lord there. Then all of a sudden, the American church, one of my trustees are American, and he went off sick and they asked me to look after the church. So that saw me in America. This week, our middle daughter, she is away serving the Lord. She was last week as well. The week after my daughter from Ethiopia gets back, Wendy goes back home to Australia for 3 weeks. Big family reunion, unexpected. And then 1 week back, then I'm back in America once again for the planned schedule. So that year that we were hoping of consolidation has not been put in place, but we praise God that God is on the throne, and we praise God that Brighton is changing for Jesus Christ. I can't see how anybody can look over Brighton and not believe that there is a major shift in what God is doing throughout the city. I just see so many wonderful opportunities. Our schools work for next week, when Adele Waller brought me the schedule for the many, many schools wanting Bible clubs, I could not believe how it's possible to do so many schools with such a small team as we have. But praise God, they're all open to hear about Jesus. I praise God that for those of you who've been praying for us, our homeless work, our new base, 35 people each and every day coming in, looking for care, looking for help. We have 12 that does the Alpha course on the Tuesday, all seeking to know Jesus Christ. We've seen many over this year rehoused, but come back wanting to know more about Jesus. And so many churches I go to, I see people that were ex-homeless people that are worshipping Jesus Christ. I can't see how you can see there's not a change in our council. It's a wonderful thing to see, actually. Now they're looking to the church. In this time of great recession, the church needs to be the anchor, and they're waking up to the wonderful works that each and every church are doing within our city, from our babies to the toddlers, right through to our old people. I thank God that there's so many opportunities. Our Gateway project, in the next couple of months, we've got 2 new workers coming on board. We've got our new centre opening for our Women at Risk Centre, and I praise God for that. Many great things. Ministry, so many openings, so many opportunities. But we need your prayers. We value your prayers, and as friends, I know that you're partners, and you're all part and parcel of the ministry of Off the Fence Trust. Well, during August, you've been looking at the conversations that Jesus has had along the way. You've been looking at Luke 7 and Luke 8. And today we have the wonderful passage of Luke 8, starting at verse 22. In your pew Bibles, it's page 1037. Please turn, if you would, with me to that passage. Luke 8, starting at verse 22, and it reads, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep.
and a squall came down on the lake, so that boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. Then the disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I want us to set the scene first off to this wonderful bit of scripture. The first portion of Jesus' ministry was around the Lake of Galilee. Only in chapter 9 does Jesus move out from there and sets his whole heart and mind and ministry towards Jerusalem. But up to chapter 8, to the end, he's there in Lake Galilee. We have Lake Galilee that's 12 miles wide, 6 miles, and its depth at the greatest place is 200 feet deep. So it's quite a sized lake. Around that lake you have the hills surrounding it. You have many little settlements within them hills. Little villages of about 150 people on average. Mainly farmers, mainly fishermen that dwell in these little villages. The local people know the sea. They know the lake. They know that region, and they know if you're caught in a storm, especially in the afternoon, you're in deep trouble. And this was early evening. And many of the disciples had come from this region. And in Luke 8, we see here that the disciples and Jesus have been travelling round these small little villages. And we're told that 1,000 people were coming out looking and listening to the message of Jesus. This was out of the ordinary. This was phenomenal for that part. But Jesus and the disciples are exhausted. They've been on constant ministry. They've been teaching. He's been preaching. He's been walking the miles. It's hot weather. Without a break. And they're tired. They're exhausted. Jesus, we know, is fully God, but he's also fully man. And the human body is tired out. He is worn out. Jesus said, let's get in the boat. And let's sail across this lake. So the 13 of them crowd into a boat. All very tired. There's 6 oars. And they begin to row. But not Jesus. Jesus, we're told, he falls asleep. And the storm comes. The dark clouds come. The rains come. The fishermen are already exhausted. They already know they're in deep trouble. It's become very dark now. They were getting nowhere, and the boat is starting to fill with water. Will we survive? We know these waters so well, and in our opinion, we are lost. Jesus, Master, Master, we hate to wake you up, but we're in such trouble. Jesus wakes and he gets up and he says to the storms and to the sea, be still. Be still. And immediately all becomes still. For the disciples, we're told, this is off the scale. They'd seen the miracles, they'd heard the teachings, but this was beyond anything that they'd ever seen before. So there is fear and wonder and amazement that's mixed with what they are seeing. And Jesus simply turns to them and asks, where is your faith? Well, the disciples are in shock. They'd seen it all. But they knew that only God could still the winds and the waves and the elements. They were starting to realize that the divine and humanity had come together here. Fully God, but fully man. One person, two natures. Tired out as a human being. Sleeps through the massive storm. But the divine spoke, and the elements would obey. And it blew the disciples' minds, we're told. So much so that Luke, as the author of this book, really sets to work on the many storms of life. He talks so much about storms. Go back to the books that he wrote. If you go back and you read through Luke and you read through Acts, you see storm after storm after storm. You see, this had made such a profound impact on Luke. He talks about so many storms, and he wants you to know, Christians, that once you become a Christian, it's not just sunshine, but the storms are coming. The storms are raging. We are either entering a storm, in the midst of a storm, or coming out of a storm. That seems very much to be life. Jesus, in this passage here, stills the storms. You see Jesus walking on the water in the storms. Luke reminds us of three shipwrecks that the great apostle Paul goes through in the storms. And in Acts 27, he has a whole chapter on Paul's fourth shipwreck of the man of God caught in a storm. And I believe this, my friends, that Scripture clearly paints a picture for us here that life is a journey that will include storms as well as the sunshine. I've heard it said, and I've told you before, that Christian ministry is about blood, sweat, toil and tears. I kind of get so confused with so many autobiographies. I am an autobiography junkie. I love to read the things of God, of what people have done through the ages. But I very quickly know if it's a true picture of the man of God or the woman of God that's doing this. So often, it's all about all the sunshine, and it's not a true picture. I've got an author at the moment for probably about 4 years have been saying, would I do a story about the ministry of Off the Fence? And we can't get past stage one. He says, let's call it a successful ministry in the inner city. And I said, no, let's call it blood, sweat, toil and tears. Oh, people won't want to read that. Then I say, people won't want to read the life of Off the Fence. Because the truth is, there are many storms. Storms cannot really destroy, though, the child of God. You may lose the boat. You may lose the goods overboard. It may stop you for a while. But we're told in Romans 8, all things work together for good for those who love Jesus. So what causes these terrible storms to come into our lives? Well, I think there are three different areas we can see. First, there are storms that we cause. It's because of us. I think of Jonah. Jonah was a ratbag. I mean, I preached on Jonah when I was away, the four chapters. If you can imagine God saying to Paul, well, go to Brighton. And me standing here saying, oh God, destroy this place. It is terrible. I hate it. Destroy. That's what Jonah was doing to Nineveh. He hated the people. And yet God used him and led him on to bring a great revival. But Jonah, God said go, and he said no. And he ran the other way, and the great storm came. when we disobey the voice of the Almighty, my friends, terrible storms can come so very, very quickly. And it can affect everyone around us. Jonah's storm affected the fishermen, the boatsmen that were there with him. So some storms we cause ourselves. Not true of the disciples here, was it? Some storms then God causes. Jesus said to the disciples, sail across the Lake of Galilee. He knew a storm was coming. He knew it. He knew the winds would howl and the waves would crash. Even the fishermen in the boat thought, all is lost now, we're in trouble. Jesus knew they would face that, and still he sent them out that day to teach them a life lesson, to teach him probably one of the greatest lessons in life, that he controls the sea and the winds and the elements. On another storm, he taught them that he can walk on the water. And he wants us to know that today, he still stills the calms of life, the storms of life, the tough and terrible times. So there are them storms that we cause, them storms that God causes. And thirdly, that there are those terrible storms, perhaps the most difficult storms, that other people cause. And because we're on board with them, we have to face them as well. I'm working with a family at the moment with their son who is taking heroin. If you have ever been in a family where the loved child is destroying their life and doing anything they can to buy drugs, you know the destruction and the storms that it causes. Children in divorce. Every time I hear that a homeless person has died in Brighton, it causes a storm in my own heart. This week I've met with businessmen who've lost everything because of crooked business partners. Storms will come. But the question is, as Jesus asks, where is your faith, Christian, in that storm? God the Father, you see, was watching over that boat because his precious son was in the boat. The Holy Spirit was watching over that boat because the Son of God was in that boat. The angels in heaven was watching over that boat. I don't know about you, but I seem to live in so many storms. I think it's the nature of the work. But the wind blows and it seems that all is sinking. And I look back over these 27 years of ministry that I've been involved in. And there have been times where I've been able to hold on. And there are other times that I've let go. But the wonderful thing is, he has never let go of me. And says in the deepest storm, don't be afraid. You know, the very storms that they were afraid of taught them one of the greatest lessons in their life. That Emmanuel, God, was with them. So the storm couldn't destroy the child of God. It couldn't hide God's promises. It couldn't hide God's presence from them. And it couldn't hinder the will of God. You see, that boat was so important. Why was that boat so important? Because on that boat was Jesus, and the salvation of the world was within that boat. Jesus was heading for the cross so that sin could be forgiven, that you and I could become sons and daughters of the living God. That boat, in that boat that's in that terrible storm, with the Son of God, and he's going to a cross. He's going to die and be raised back to life and then sit on the throne of heaven. History and eternity is in that boat. A nuclear submarine couldn't have taken that boat down because God's purposes was in that boat. But you might be thinking, oh, Paul, I'm in storms. And I can't feel the presence of Jesus in that boat. Scripture has many things to say about that. But my mind straight away goes to when Paul is in a boat. Jesus is not in that boat. And the whole boat gets destroyed. But God says, Paul, there's purposes for you in Rome. Do not be afraid. Be still. Well, say if Jesus hadn't been in that boat. Say if it would have only been the disciples in that boat that day. Would it have been the same, my friends? On that boat, I want you to think back. On that boat was the book of Matthew, was the book of Mark, Luke, John, was Acts, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, the book of James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the book of Revelation. Do you think God was going to allow that boat to sink with them men on that boat? On that boat was the eyewitnesses' account of Jesus Christ. These disciples would form the early church. These disciples would spread the good news about Jesus through the then known world. Nothing was going to sink that boat. And God's will, my friend, is going to be fulfilled in each one of our lives. He's on the throne. He knows where and when and what he wants each and every one of you to do with your life. Oh, that boat was in a terrible storm. The fishermen saying, we're sinking, and they knew they were sinking. But the disciples are going to change the world. It's the same calling that you and I have. Christian friend, God knows your beginning. He knows your end. And the middle part will be a great adventure if we follow him hard. You can do things for God that nobody else can do. God called me to set up off the fence, but your calling is no different or no lesser to any other Christian on this planet. You can do what only you can do. There are people that you know that I could never reach. Your pastor could never reach because God has placed you in that place. And you matter to God. And his eye is upon each one of you. So we're going to have some sunshine. Praise God for them sunshine days. But we're going to have storm clouds. We're going to have mountain tops and valleys to explore. But God will fulfill his purpose in each one of you. If we obey, we cannot lose. If we disobey, remember Jonah. But my friend, even with Jonah, you're going to go where he has planned and placed each one of you to go. Where God does not rule, he always overrules. There is always an open back door. Isn't that wonderful? How many times I've run from the will of God. It might be costly. You might lose the cargo on the way, Christian friends. You might almost lose your life. But God knows what he wants with each one of you. 3 years ago, I was in a hospital bed. I'd got pneumonia, septicemia. I'd heard the doctor, the consultant saying, well, if he makes it through tonight, that will be a miracle in itself. I give him about a 7% chance. two beds up was my wife that was very ill in hospital as well. We tried to shield the kids, but one of my daughters, Emily, our middle daughter, she was so upset to know that we were so close to death, that I had been so close. And we had to sit her down and we had to say to her, actually, Emily, nothing could kill us until God's timing. A nuclear warhead could land on my head and not affect me if it's not God's time. He knows, and he's got it in his book, the day of my last breath. And absolutely nothing can bring that time forward or take that time backwards. It's in the book of life. Jesus was in that boat. Be still. My friend, are you going through that horrendous storm? Be still. He spoke and it happened. Who was in this boat? We are told clearly. The creator of the whole world was in that boat. Jesus was there. But he'd been there in the beginning when the darkness got light. He was there when the stars were formed and the planet and the seas. He spoke and brought creation in. The disciples that day in the storm recognizes that God was present. Only the voice of God could still that storm. Be still. They knew in their own minds. Just to quote a tiny few of the scriptures for you to go and read afterwards, that they knew well, referring that only God could still the storms. Psalm 65, verse 7. Psalm 106, verse 7 and 9. Psalm 107, verse 23, 29. Psalm 89, verse 9. It goes on. The list is endless. God is among us, my friends, whatever the storm that some of us are going to face this week that we never expected. So God is among us, Emmanuel, and the wind and the waves obey his voice. So we might be in the storms this morning. We need go find the Master. The only thing that they could do is go to Jesus. But they didn't go to Jesus until their own efforts had been exhausted. They'd tried everything. And my friends, I think that's a mistake. We need to go to Jesus straight away. Life has its great storms. And so often I go and I run and I try to do everything to stop them. Then in desperation call out, God, only you can do it now. Jesus, I need you now. I think we should be going to Jesus first, don't you? The creator and ruler of space and time and storms can say, be still, and do with two words more than we could do for the whole of our lives. Storms are here. They're coming. Friends, take courage. They cannot destroy you. They cannot hide his presence and his promises from you. And they cannot hinder the will of God for your life. And friends, even through that moment of death, whatever the circumstances may be, will come that same voice that then brought fear, now brings great comfort. And will say, don't be afraid. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Never forget that whatever we're going to face this week, The voice of the Master can change your circumstances within a flash. Let us pray.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do know that on that great lake, the disciples went through many frightening things. Thank you that in one storm you walked across the water to be with them. In another great storm you just said, be still. Lord God, I know, because just by the size of this congregation, I know there's people here that are going through storms that they don't know how they're going to get through. Lord God, I do pray, come. Come and do what only you can do. I pray that you may come and mend broken hearts. Lord God, there are things that some people are looking to this week and think, how are we going to survive? Come. Come, God, and do what only you can do. There are people here that have hard old hearts and perhaps never bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, and I pray that you bring the storm to them so that they might know there's an anchor in life's great storms, and that's Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord God, for the hardened hearts that you break, but then mend them in Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I do pray, we know not what the future has, but we know that this country of ours is going through this great, great depression, really. So many people losing their jobs, so many people in such poverty, so many people in such despair. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, come upon our land again. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do a great revival within these cities of ours in Britain. Cleanse us, renew us, excite us, thrill us. And Lord God, for each one of us here, I pray that we may give to God everything, so that God may use this crack vessel to be something that will last and bring fruit throughout all eternity. Bless this church, bless this people, for your name's sake. Amen.